Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Mike Lawton joins us. He's the Senior Economic Analyst with the Nevada Gaming Control Board. Those numbers that come out every month, he is the one that puts them out, and he's got the story behind the numbers on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh. Can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome to the program for the first time Mike Lawton. He is a senior economic analyst with the Nevada Gaming Control Board, and you may be familiar with his work because every month all these numbers come out talking about where Nevada gaming revenue is, and you're the man that's putting out all the information. Welcome.
Thank you. Really a pleasure to be here today, Sam. Thanks for inviting me.
All right, so let's talk about where Nevada is right now. We had another billion-dollar month. How many billion-dollar months have we had in a row so far?
Yeah, so we just reported, as you know, August 2021 gaming win. It was the sixth consecutive month that Gaming Win Nevada has exceeded $1 billion. You know, we compare these numbers to 2019 because 2020 was, you know, not a really valid comparison. The state was up 22% over 2019, August. Like I said, that's the sixth consecutive month that that's occurred. The billion-dollar win amount, the all-time record is eight. So this is the second longest streak all time. The longest streak was back in November of 07 through May of 2008. So we are at a historic rate of gaming win. In fact, the state right now is averaging $1 billion a month in gaming win. If we finish the year with that average continuing, we'll hit $12 billion out, obviously. That's only happened three times, 2006, 2007, and 2019. So we're really on a historic run.
All right, did it surprise you? Because, you know, you mentioned 2008 as being a big year. And then we had the recession, and of course that brought things crashing down. Mm-hmm. If you go back to 9/11, when all the air traffic stopped, that was another terrible time for Nevada gaming. Were you surprised at how rapidly this came back and in what form?
Shocked.
Really? Why?
Shocked. So, there was a 78-day closure or suspension of gaming operations, and then we opened up. We came out averaging, you know, a little over $700 million a month in gaming win. The operating environment was difficult, you know, facial coverings, social distancing, capacity limits, not all the hotels were open. It was very uneven between markets. Our biggest market, the Strip, was really taking a longer to get back to where it needed to be because you need flights, you need conventions, you need international travelers. None of that was there. So at the end of calendar year 20, the state was down about 35%, and pretty much all of that decrease could be attributable to the Las Vegas Strip. January, February, you know, similar kind of trends, nothing that's telling us, hey, you're going to get on this streak very shortly. There was nothing there. And then March, gaming win hits $1 billion. The Strip did $500 million, and you know, then we're on this run. So if you would have told me at the end of 2020, even beginning of 21, that we'd be here today talking about this streak of $1 billion gaming wins, I would have laughed at you. I was just didn't see it coming.
All right, so the beginning part of it was locals gaming, right?
Exactly.
Was that true in Las Vegas as well?
The gaming numbers that we were seeing being reported were being driven by Nevada residents, locals. There was tourists, but it was drive-in. There was markets that were you know already at pre-pandemic levels because they were locals markets. They relied on drive-in traffic. So that was what was supporting these numbers. There was a lot of federal stimulus in the market too, Sam. That was being pumped into the economy. So the Strip was missing these two levers that they really needed. You know, actually three: international flights and conventions. And without those three levers being pressed, the Strip was going to lag. So yeah, that was those markets that relied on locals and could have drive-in. They were at pre-pandemic levels very quickly. Washoe County, the Las Vegas locals, South Lake Tahoe really got off to a strong start. Mesquite, Elko. So, you know, that's kind of how it was playing out.
I'm not sure if you're able to address this, and so therefore I have no problem if you say you can't. But do you think that there has been a dynamic change in the customer of local casinos to where they have now become, in quotes, Cheers? Which is where people in the past would go to a local bar, a local restaurant, they knew the waiter, the bartender, whatever. And when they came back after COVID, that they were looking for the relationships they'd had before, and it turned out to be the local casinos. Am I even close on that analogy?
I haven't heard anything to that point. I know we have been hearing that customers that maybe didn't game before were gaming, especially younger customers, because you know there was a displacement of funds with gaming where there wasn't a whole lot else to do. Nightclubs, shows, you know, a lot of that money that would go into other you know revenue centers wasn't there. So younger players were gaming more than before. So I think as far as the customer dynamic or mix that had changed, that's one that I'm familiar with. You know, the older demographic that's so important to casinos, that was slow to come back because of, you know, of the pandemic. So those players kind of came in and filled those holes. Now it's our understanding that, you know, that older demographic is coming back, mixing in with that younger demographic. So that's my understanding. If there's a change in customer mix, that's kind of what I've heard.
Dom Marandino, who ran many properties in Southern Nevada and Northern Nevada over the years, said that there is an ability to look at a property like the Palms in its heyday, mm-hmm. Where you can accommodate all different kinds of groups. You just can't mix them. So you can have older people playing bingo during the day and going to the movie theater, and at night you can have the nightclubs. Is that what you're seeing? Is they're not all mixing together, but they're coming in different waves?
I haven't heard that as far as, you know, maybe when the different floor time is being occupied by certain customers. I know the young people aren't playing at, you know, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. They're probably playing later, you know.
Well, they might be if they're still up.
Yeah, you never know. But, yeah, I haven't dug that deep into, that kind of mix of customers when they're on the floor. But, yeah, they probably play different games. So if they know who plays, you know, video poker, you know, might be an older demographic, that play might be higher at a certain time of day, and then, you know, the young people might be playing certain table games, and that business picks up later. So yeah, I'm sure they are able to identify who's playing and when.
One of the games that just goes up and down depending on the luck of the customer is Baccarat. Mm-hmm. How have we been seeing, is Baccarat popular with regular Nevadans rather than just Asians? Because that used to be the big thing.
That's a great question. So when you look at the gaming numbers in this historic run that we're on, they're pretty much being driven by slot play. Slot play is, I think, 11% of calendar year to date above 2019 levels. It's setting all sorts of records. So that's what's really driving these numbers. Table games, on the other hand, is down 6.2% calendar year to date compared to 2019. Not a lot, but it's down. And the big reason for that is Baccarat. Baccarat's down about 21% calendar to date, going back to 2019. And the reason for that is international play. It's not back to where it was. Now, we've had some pretty good Baccarat months considering, you know, the situation that we're in. But yeah, that international con- component is not back, and that's why Baccarat is lagging. Baccarat accounts for, in a normal year, about 30% of game and table win and about 10% of total win. So those numbers are definitely soft, and that's why you see table games not quite up to the 2019 levels yet, but slots is, you know, making up for that.
I don't know, you can comment on this, but I certainly can, which is, it always scares me when I see a governor putting Baccarat into the budget as, you know, a portion, because, you know, going back to the days, people can Google the name, but people like Kerry Packer would come in and change a quarter result for a major corporation by the amount of money he was gambling on Baccarat.
I hate to tell you this, how old I am, but I dealt Baccarat to Mr. Packer.
Is that right?
Yes, at the Mirage.
Okay, and what kind of experience was that?
Terrifying.
Because?
He's the one of the richest, most powerful customers that our business catered to at the Mirage and Bellagio, or Mirage specifically. So yeah, it was a terrifying experience. You know, whatever he said, you would do. And yeah, he would definitely, he was an intimidating man. But yeah, I've been dealing with this game, it seems like, my entire gaming career. When I was at the Mirage and Bellagio, I was in the Baccarat pit, and now, you know, that I'm an analyst for the state, obviously gaming Baccarat every month, you have to look at it and say, what did it do? Did it help us or did it hurt us?
I can't help but ask you this. Kerry Packer's son, James Packer, was going to be one of the owners of the Elan, which came and disappeared, and now the property is owned by Wynn Resorts to be developed at some point. He was dating Mariah Carey. Did you ever come across him in your travels?
No, it was only his father. It was only Mr. Packer. And yeah, he was quite a character, and he was very generous. If he did well, you know, us as dealers did very well as well. So that was always exciting, yet, you know, you were nervous as well.
Okay.
When you came to the building.
You see, this is why I wanted you on the show. You have great stories. Mike Lawton is here from Gaming Control Board. We'll have more after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on 2 floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan, we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mike Lawton. He is Senior Economic Analyst with the Nevada Gaming Control Board. He's responsible for those numbers you hear every month about what's happening with gaming. So, gaming, like every other business in the state of Nevada, is having trouble getting people to come back to work. Do you have concerns, as we're seeing more convention businesses? We're taping this G2E, the big gaming conference is going on in Las Vegas right now. We've got CES coming up. Mm-hmm. Air travel is picking up dramatically. Do you have concerns that there's going to be a mismatch between how many people are coming and how well we can deal with them?
Yeah, obviously I do. It's a little bit out of my lane to you know, I'm not an expert in, you know, the employment dynamics that we're seeing. I know, in my opinion, and from what I've been told, the convention piece is the piece that will potentially get a lot more people back to work. You need the conventions during the middle of the week to have those restaurants firing on all cylinders 7 days a week. Shows. In order for shows to operate 7 days a week, they need to run at a certain, you know, capacity. And if you're not busy in the middle of the week, those shows aren't profitable. So I think the convention piece is the piece that's missing and could, you know, potentially bring, you know, employment numbers back up, bring more employees into the building. You know, it's a moving target with conventions. I think, you know, originally we heard, you know, it was going to be the fourth quarter of 2021. You know, we just had a recent cancellation of a pretty big convention, the National Association of Broadcasters. That was disappointing to hear. So I think that goal line of when it comes back is being pushed out maybe into 2022 now. So I think that's the biggest piece we're missing. The second biggest piece is international play, international travelers. They stay longer, they spend more. So those are the two, you know, levers that the Strip needs to come back to. You know, I know the numbers are incredible for the Strip, but they're really not operating on their optimal mix. You know, there's still some pieces that they need to be operating at their best capacity.
All right, so if you bring back those two elements, and let's put the number in 2022, mm-hmm. Which would match Jan Jones's timeline when she said at the beginning of all this, it's going to take 3 years. Mm-hmm. And she was right on the money as far as that was concerned. You know, what do you think, are you already projecting what the potential numbers could be? Is that $1.2 billion, $1.5 billion a month?
You know, my projections are already way off compared to what I did for the Economic Forum.
On the other side of being, they're really great by comparison with what you projected.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of you know, there's not going to be federal stimulus being pumped into the economy, so that could bring us back down. You know, the Delta variant, we're still not through the woods on that as far as you know, from what we're seeing. I think there's some displacement, Sam, with money, that the traditional spending patterns are not back yet because not everything's back online. You know, gaming usually only accounts for, on the Strip, 30% of total revenue. Well, it's going to be much higher than that, right? So I think the displacement, when things get back to normal, you'll be spending more money on shows and food and shopping and you know, all the other things that Las Vegas has to offer. So I'm not sure. These comparisons are going to start getting really difficult, right? Next March 22, you know, we're going to start comparing against $1 billion every month for a while. So we'll see. I'd be happy with, you know, continuing to record $1 billion a month every month. That's the bellwether amount. When the state records $1 billion, that's wow, that was a great month. I don't care if the state records $1.2 billion and we're down from $1.3 billion, you know, it's still really strong.
All right, so that brings up another interesting point. As you said, you know, gaming as a portion of the total spend in Las Vegas has been around 30-32% here for the last several years. Mm-hmm. Am I correct in saying that in regional markets in Nevada, that is like Reno, for example, mm-hmm. it's more like 60% still?
It's much higher. It's much higher in those regional markets. Some markets, it's, you know, 60-70%. You know, some of those rural markets like Carson Valley or Elko, it's much higher in those markets for total revenue.
So that's pretty close to the days when it was just Nevada and Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Those are stunning numbers. Okay, so you're looking at those numbers, and what's been the effect of Allegiant Stadium so far in terms of gaming revenue?
You know, it's hard to give an exact figure. I will tell you that July, when we set the all-time record of $1.4 billion in gaming win, Allegiant Stadium opened up. There was a concert prior to the Garth Brooks concert, but that was a huge draw. I think the Raiders, you know, we're going to see September. That could be a game changer. I think it's could be nothing but positive, in my opinion, for what that venue is going to bring to the city and the state in terms of events, you know, sporting events, concerts, special events. That's always been, you know, something we track every month. What are the special events every month? And, you know, it's great to see that they're back, because that means people are going to come back and people are going to spend. So I think it's only going to add to, as a positive to gaming win in the future.
Well, and the potential, as far as I can see, is that, you know, with NFR, you've got 10 nights from in December, which used to be a dead period for Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Now it's turned into something huge where you don't even have to go to the NFR to be a part of it because every property is putting on things.
Yeah.
Do you see other events potentially coming in and doing something like, maybe not 10 nights, but, you know, 4 to 5 nights?
You know, I'm not sure. I know, I don't know what their strategic plan is. I know I'm really excited. When I look out for the next few months, one of the biggest things coming is the Rolling Stones are playing Allegiant in November.
It's going to bring a lot of senior citizens. Just kidding.
Yes,
just kidding.
Yes, that's good. They like to gamble. So, yeah, I think the future is really bright for that stadium when it brings to our state, Las Vegas, the Strip. I think it's positive.
All right, let's take another break. Back with Mike Lawton. We'll just get him excited. It would be great. We'll be right back after this.
The Do It Right guys at Nevada Heating have one mission. Your air conditioner breaks down today, we fix it today. Why sweat for days while your air is down when Nevada Heating can get the job done today and you can get cool again? For nearly 50 years, locally owned Nevada Heating has been getting the job done right. Call today at 323-5585 or see us online at nevadaheating.com.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Mike Lawton. He is the Senior Economic Analyst for the Nevada Gaming Control Board. Those numbers you see every month when he talks about $1 billion of income for the casinos, this is where the numbers are coming from. Question for you. State Senator Ben Kiekhaefer has been on the program talking about esports and the potential for esports that is coming under the wing of the Gaming Control Board. Do you have any opinion at this point about what the potential is for esports? Because it seems like we're behind places like South Korea, where tens of millions of people are watching people play esports online. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
We've had approvals for wagering on these esports events. There's been, I just ran some numbers on this. There's been close to 20 approvals maybe on these events where sports books have asked the board for approval for customers to wager on these events. When those numbers get reported to us on the sports books, it's not broken out specifically for, you know, what was wagered on esports. My sources have told me it has been underwhelming. I don't think we've figured out as an industry how to monetize those events into the gaming sportsbook arena. When they do, yeah, I think there's huge potential. But as of right now, from what we've seen, very limited. It's early in the game. It's the first or second inning. It has not blown anybody away.
You know, it's kind of funny, and I'm going to make the comment rather than ask you to make it unless you want to jump in. But the gaming industry has always been very conservative. And maybe it goes back to the transition from the mob days to the corporate days, that everybody was like, well, let's go slow. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we got the Gaming Control Board on board and law enforcement and all the rest. But whether it's slot machines, now we're seeing the development of all these new high-tech slot machines that are more in line with what people experienced playing video games. Mm-hmm. All this. I mean, video games, I was playing Pong in 1974. So it's not like these are a brand new thing, but it took the slot machine manufacturers decades to be able to catch up. So I got a funny feeling that esports is going to end up being huge. We were talking to a group in I think it was South Carolina, that they've got 400 esports teams in that state.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, depending on where you are, but Nevada has been pretty slow, but it's starting to come along. Okay, so I got one quick question here. Go ahead.
Do you want to touch on sports betting at all?
Sure. You got 30 seconds. You take whatever you want.
Okay. I think one of the next big thing, if you will, when we're talking about esports, I think, you know, Nevada, and as you know, sports wagering is the big thing now. There's 28 jurisdictions, I believe, that are offering legalized sports wagering in the country now since the Supreme Court decision. Nevada, you know, everyone was worried what it's going to do to that particular area of gaming. Well, we're up 57% in sports betting win off of a record year in 2019. So I think if there's the next big thing, that's kind of where it's at. You know, nothing lasts forever. We'll see what happens. And then yeah, you know, who knows, Sam? My crystal ball is always foggy and always a little bit wrong. So we'll see.
Well, you have to be conservative. That's your job, is to be conservative.
Absolutely.
Because if you come out with wacky numbers, then that could really screw up the state budget when we depend so much on that industry.
We're very conservative in our outlook.
Okay. I thank you for doing this. It was awesome to have you here. Please come back. I have so many more questions for you. And this was a pleasure. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny, Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they were.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Don't forget, another way of watching Nevada Newsmakers is to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.